The World Cup wasn't the only major happening over the weekend. Berlin Fashion Week was also taking place in the German capital, with fashionistas from all over the world coming together twice a year to see and be seen. And of course, figure out what they must add to their collections and their closets for the upcoming season. Calling in from DW's Berlin studio is Pulse fashion expert Susan Stone, who braved the world of glamour just for us. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Kate and Anne-Sophie, and I'm glad I survived.
Yeah,
we're really glad too. So, Susan, did you miss the World Cup game, or were there a few soccer fans among the fashionistas that actually watched the finale somewhere?
Well, we were lucky in that the timing was kind of worked out, I think, especially so that most of the games were starting after everybody got out of the last shows. You know, people may not realize, but fashion shows are really short. They're about 11 to 15 minutes. It's the whole getting in, sitting down and applauding and whatnot. It actually takes the time. So there was a bit of efficiency to get everybody out and get them to football. There were also some football viewing parties. I mean, whoever thought that Elle magazine would have a football and fashion party, but they did. And there were other public viewing opportunities.
So did any of the fashion people actually dress up in like black, red and gold?
There were some interesting outfits, as always. But there is actually one of the designers, Dorothea Schumacher, who is known for her very beautiful, feminine, ladylike clothes. She has designed a shirt that specifically is for football fans. So it's in the model of the German tricot with white and gold and red, but with sheer white sleeves, a bit of a feminine touch. And if you watch the final game, you saw Lena Gorka, who's the girlfriend of Sami Khedira from the team. She was wearing this shirt, actually, on the pitch.
So the Brandenburg Gate was not the central location for this year's Fashion Week. Was that due to the World Cup, and what impact did that have?
Yes, that was the sort of biggest collision between fashion and football, you could say. The decision was to move very far away. The reason being that we have a beautiful Fanmeile that is built, a fan mile for lots of people to come to and watch the games in what's known in German as public viewing, which is simply what it sounds like. And we ended up, funnily enough, in another sports venue, the Erika Hess Eisstadion or Ice Stadium in Wedding, which is not a very glamorous neighborhood. They did the best they could, the organizers, IMG. They built a nice tent where they had the usual sponsors, places you could have a drink. And then in the middle, there was a bit of a patio so people could hang out, have a currywurst, have some free ice cream, which was nice. But it just simply was a concrete box, and there was no denying it.
But being banned to the sidelines, let's say, of the city doesn't sound like a sign that Fashion Week is top priority in Berlin. Another sign is that the Bread and Butter Fair has announced that it's going to be taking place elsewhere in the winter and fall, though it will continue coming back to Berlin in the summer. Do you see that Berlin is really losing its significance in the fashion world?
I guess the real question would be, did it ever have any significance?
Did it ever have it?
and it's sort of fighting for its own existence. And it was a very frustrating season on that level. And I sat next to the Senator for Economics, Technology and Research at one of the shows and was talking to her. And, you know, of course, it's her job to be quite optimistic about it. But the startup scene has a little bit more power in a way. And I sort of said, oh, we need something that's going to combine the two. So anyone listening out there who wants to create the next app that's fashion and technology and start it in Berlin, please come do that because we could use the help. Another note for me was that we have several fashion competitions, and first of all, the one Designer for Tomorrow, which has a rotating host and was hosted by Tommy Hilfiger this year. There were no German entries. There was a Swiss entry who was attending a German school, but there were no local entries. And then the Start Your Fashion Business, which is a competition for Berlin designers, the winner was actually not from Berlin. He's moving to Berlin. I thought that is sort of an interesting sign. I mean, yes, we want to attract talent, so maybe that's a good note, but the talent that's here also needs to be supported. As for bread and butter, that's tricky. I mean, the thing is that this fair, it's very discussed, it's very provocative, and every year they're trying something different to get more people to come or different people to come. And so I think this is kind of like another change in the line of changes. It's going to Barcelona, where it was in Barcelona for a while as well, so came back to Berlin, and now it's sort of splitting it. And it's going to Seoul, which I think I talked about last season.
Yeah.
And that's a very important market, sort of broadening towards Asia. People aren't particularly happy about the change because, of course, everything else will still be going on in Berlin at the same time. So it does feel a little painful.
To me, it always seems like Berlin is special in its own way. And unlike Paris, New York or London, it has always somehow been banked on up-and-coming local names. So who do we have to watch out this year?
So there's two that I'd like to mention. One is from Berlin and one is actually from Weimar. The reason why they're good to talk about as well is because they're both doing sustainable design, which, you know, it's something that gets pushed forward slower. You know, we're talking about ecologically sourced fabrics and techniques. And one is Alex Kirkowski. She was showing a presentation on the stage. And, you know, we're talking about spring, summer, but she's showing also lots of black and coats and very kind of pointy things and very well-shaped, unsymmetrical pieces. And the thing is that when you look at them, you think, wow, these are really challenging, interesting pieces, but you don't think, oh, this is sustainable fashion. And I think that's important. And then the other one would be Anna Gorka, who is from Weimar. She's been improving over the last seasons, and she's also very dedicated to sustainable, and she showed very sort of fun and beautiful, just relaxed clothes, but again, kind of really underlining the fact that green doesn't have to be crunchy, hippie, rough weave. Yeah, exactly. That it can be beautiful and wearable. And she, in fact, named her collection Too Cool for Cruel.
We're coming to the question that we've all been waiting for, Susan. What must we add to our closets before summer 2015 rolls around?
So the trends that we really saw were lots of mesh and lots of sport fabric. So when I'm talking mesh, I'm talking about like almost what you'd get at sort of Adidas or something like that. Sort of really that
fitting
kind
with the
of
World
sport
Cup.
Mesh. Mm-hmm. Exactly, sport feel. So and technical fabrics, things like nylon and again that mesh and florals, always good. We saw a lot of sort of tropical prints, either parrots, toucans, hibiscus, and also a lot of florals for men. So there were a couple designers, Sissy Goetze, who's a very good menswear designer in Berlin, and she did not only these sort of hibiscus prints, but they were tone on tone, which means the same color on the same color. So that's a bit more subtle for men. And then she also worked with an artist to create these really interesting prints that were reminiscent of Matisse cutouts. So that was quite beautiful. And then there was another menswear designer, Dunn, which had quite a lot of flowered pieces that I think one of my colleagues said, not for wallflowers. I mean, you definitely have to have a kind of confidence as a man to wear these pieces. And then for women, you know, if you've got something sheer and you put something on top of it or something underneath it, then you're good to go.
Was there anything else that really surprised you and made you happy?
Thank you for asking that, because there was another sort of Berlin classic that I want to mention. And I think I did actually talk about her in January as well, and that's Esther Perbandt. She's an avant-garde designer here in Berlin. In January, she had her 10th anniversary show at the Volksbühne, which is a legendary theater. And she had quite an amazing event. And I think people thought, and she thought herself, now what? How do I top this? You know, it was sold out, you know, full theater, you know, on stage, performers, actors wearing the clothes, you know, just drop dead amazing thing. In an interview leading up to that event, she told me, someone had asked her, if you were going to go on tour with a band, what band would you want to go with? And she thought about it, and she said, my own band.
Yeah,
and that's
cool.
What she did. She formed her own band. She had never sung like that in front of a crowd. And she and her boyfriend, who's the actor, Alexander Shia, who's been in bands before, they created this four-piece band. I think she called it Disco Avant-Garde. I mean, that's not the name, but that's the style. Mm-hmm. And under the title Esther Perbandt Live, she and her band performed at the Michalski Style Night. Not only did they perform at another designer's fashion show, which is pretty brave, and performing for the first time ever in front of 1,000 people in the Tempodrome, she also opened for Rita Ora, who is a pretty well-known pop star.
Wow, well, Berlin is all about thinking outside the box. Well, we've
and
talked
reinventing
about,
yourself.
Yeah, and reinventing yourself. We've talked about designers, but let's talk about celebrities, which are also a major highlight. Tilda Swinton, the actress, was the face of the Fashion Week this year. What other celebrities did you meet up with?
I would say we didn't have quite the number that we have had in previous years, but Tilda is a pretty amazing person to have here, and she's got a strong connection with Berlin, and she's, of course, you know, sort of stunning and very interesting. We also had model Bar Raffaele, and we had a couple actresses from the U.S. as well, Hilary Swank, who's an Oscar-winning actress, and Marcia Cross, best known for Desperate Housewives, I believe. And Rita Ora, as I mentioned, singing at Ed Mikalski, so that was a pretty good get. Aside from that, I think we had mainly the usual kind of German D-list celebrities, but no Boris Becker.
Well, Susan, I hope you can take off your heels and put on your sweats this week as Berlin rolls up its red carpets. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, and I never wear sweats.